from KQED.
And now we head to Riverside, where the 140-year-old parent of navel orange trees the world over is threatened by a tiny winged pest called the Asian citrus psyllid. The Eliza Tibbetts tree is an iconic remnant of the early days of California's $2 billion-a-year citrus industry. So locals are going all out in an effort to protect it, as Rowan Moore Garrity reports.
We're standing right here at the corner of Arlington Avenue and Magnolia.
Through a wrought iron fence, Vince Moses points out a massive orange tree that nearly fills the tiny park around it. It's one of the first navel orange trees ever introduced to the U.S. Moses is a citrus historian and the former director of the Riverside Municipal Museum.
But really, the seedless navel orange was a mutant off of a Brazilian orange called the Selecta.
Eliza Tibbetts, one of Riverside's founders, introduced two of the Selecta's mutant offspring to California in the 1870s. It was America's first seedless fruit, large, brightly colored, and easy to peel. The one surviving tree now stands at an ordinary intersection ringed with small apartment buildings in a strip mall. But in the late 19th century, navel oranges had transformed the area.
Thousands of acres of navel orange groves with streetcar lines, with irrigation canal.
Tibbetts' neighbors used cuttings from her two original trees to establish the first navel orange orchards in California. Over the years, mutations on their offspring provided new varieties to farmers from South Africa to Pakistan. At the turn of the 20th century, Riverside was the wealthiest city per capita in all the U.S. California became a global hub for citrus, but the tree that made it possible is now at risk.
The yellow disease, that's what the Chinese call it. Here we call it the greening disease because if the psyllid bites this parent tree and injects a bacteria called the Wanglongbing, they're gone. There's no known cure.
The psyllids in California aren't yet infected with Wanglongbing, but the disease has already spread throughout Florida and much of Texas. Citrus greening curls the leaves of new growth on orange trees and causes the fruit to have a bitter, metallic taste. Tracy Kahn says most infected trees die within a few years.
I mean, they're losing trees in Florida left and right, and it's really hard to keep an industry going because trees have a very, very short life.
Kahn is a botanist at UC Riverside. She curates the Citrus Variety Collection, the largest in the world, with more than 1,000 kinds of fruit. Together we drive to see direct descendants of the Tibbetts tree. Kahn peers through the leaves.
Here you go.
That's quite an orange.
To guard against citrus greening, clones are now being kept in a nearby greenhouse, too, a botanical backup. Scientists have introduced a parasitic wasp that preys on psyllids, and Southern California growers use a rotating regimen of pesticides to keep psyllid populations under control. All these measures will help slow Wanglongbing's arrival in California.
We know it's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
Georgios Vitalakis is a citrus virologist with the citrus quarantine site at UC Riverside. Inside a large greenhouse, we walk through a chamber with double doors and a fan-powered air curtain to keep bugs from passing through. Inside, researchers use cuttings to propagate new varieties for California citrus growers in a pathogen-free environment. But citrus greening, now present in all 32 citrus-growing counties in Florida, is an example of a pathogen getting around the quarantine system.
We believe that a single tree that arrives in Miami, in Florida, one tree is destroying the $10 billion Florida citrus industry.
So far, California fruit hasn't been infected, and growers haven't experienced any losses. Still, Vitalakis says people in Riverside are prepared to take special measures to prevent the disease from spreading to the Tibbetts tree.
We have created a buffer zone and we have removed other citrus trees or citrus relatives or ornamental plants. For Wanglongbing, we don't have the solution yet. The best solution right now, to buy us time until science finds a more permanent solution, is to build a protective structure.
That means creating a custom-built mesh enclosure around the tree to keep infected psyllids from feeding on the tree's sap. The cost? About $50,000. The city has pledged to cover part of the cost, but additional donations are welcome.
And it really keeps me up at night. We don't want to be the generation that loses that tree.
If the mesh plan works, Vitalakis thinks they can keep the tree alive indefinitely. We can go on forever, he says. For the California Report, I'm Rowan Moore Garrity in Riverside.